CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday. Yes. Exciting. Isn't it? Isn't your favorite time of the year? I remember something where Leanne used to get the macro liquor catalog.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten about that.
She just got excited again. I knew.
I went on holiday to Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm. And I read it the whole holiday.
Read it. Like it's a book.
Ah. Ooh, page by page.
Remember I had photographs of me on the loo reading it. Yeah. And then like on the golf course reading it.
Just brought it up now and you went, ooh, like a child who just gets a brand new present.
It's what like an thrilled? Advent calendar type of excitement for me.
What thrilled you about it? Was it just
well, they've got
the
these
prices,
collector's the items in there for like, I don't know, 70,000 rand for a bottle of something.
Yeah, there's some.
Are you drooling at the thought?
I am. I literally had to.
Your mouth is watering.
Mm. Yeah, she's got a. You know how like some people get, they get all kind of worked up about birthdays or anniversaries or Christmas or anything. It's I haven't seen you react like this for a long, long time.
You've just made my day.
Wow. Oh, well, there we go.
Everybody has their thing. That's the most important.
That stuff you were talking about, though, I know what you mean. There's a bottle of something called, I think it's Louis XIII, the Rémy Martin. It's 1,200 eau de vie between 40 and 100 years old. It's aged in oak barrels that are several hundred years old. It costs around $2,400 a bottle.
Ooh, you see?
Well, if we go by macro's prices this year, that's 45,000 rands.
Sweet Jesus.
If someone buys you that, they really do love you.
They love you, right?
Shucks.
I mean, that's quite something. Yeah, Louis XIII, it comes in this bottle that's just magnificent.
But then what do you do with something like that?
You feed it to whores.
you drink it when you're doing strippers and blow.
Yeah, I don't know when you'd... I mean, it's obviously a cognac, so it's very fine, beautifully aged, terrifically smooth drink. And what you would probably do, I would imagine, is toast an important event or have it after dinner with your rich friends if you're a billionaire. I don't know.
And I'm sure we all find this, that a lot of people gift us with booze. I don't know why. That's like the corporate go-to gifting.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But now probably about 3 weeks ago, I looked at my liquor cabinet how
chock full.
It had overflowed to my half my kitchen cabinet.
Look
and I thought,
that.
But what am I going to do with all of this? And you always in your mind, you say, no, I'm going to wait and it's a special moment. And I even got at a point a whiskey bottle, and it's a very fine whiskey, engraved with my name on the bottle and on the casing as well.
Where did that come from? That's quite a nice present.
That was a very great person who sent it to me. But then I thought, no, I'm going to drink this now. Because when is that
moment?
Yeah,
you can't keep this stuff forever. And also... People get very excited about, if I keep this wine forever. They found the oldest bottle of wine ever. It was made in the 4th century AD the other day.
Oh, goodness me. Well, this overflowing...
The Roman Empire.
Overflowing liquor cabinet doesn't... It's never happened to me.
Never happened. Oh. As soon as hers starts, she
wines
starts
Wines for special. It's never happened to me.
Never.
You aren't keeping
anything. I've got one bottle of wine in my liquor cabinet. And it's because I know it's off. That's the only reason why I haven't drunk it. But I have to buy the stuff on the day that I'm going to have. Because otherwise, if I had 40, I'd have 40.
Oh, white God,
that's great. Okay, so a couple of things. I brought in some helium today. We're doing a big gender reveal. Greg, who works here and who's the station manager for CliffCentral.com, Greg has... Hey, Nolo.
Doesn't he know if he's a boy or a girl?
No, he doesn't know if he's having a daughter or a son.
Aww.
So very exciting. And we've got a pink balloon and we've got a blue balloon. I kind of wanted to do it on the show, but maybe we'll just record it for Instagram. I don't know if... it's exciting.
Yeah.
His first child.
So how does it work?
I don't know. I've never done one of these before, but people go to huge lengths to do the gender reveals. They have cake where the inside of the cake is either pink or blue.
Yeah, we did that for my sister.
They have like a present, and you open box after box after box, and the middle box is either pink or blue. Mm. People do it in different ways.
So how are we doing this one?
Because we've got the balloons. So what's going to happen is what we will do is get someone to fart in the one balloon. That'll sink. That's not the right balloon. And we'll get someone to put helium in the other balloon.
But who tells all this right. person who's blowing up the balloons?
I don't know how this works.
I think it's...
You know what?
Yeah, someone has to be in who, on it.
I brought helium.
Very good. Did you have helium just lying around?
I have helium lying around in my house.
Swear if I ever wanted to kill someone, I'd need your advice.
I'm so scared of balloons.
Who just has helium lying around?
You're scared of balloons?
I'm petrified.
Leah, don't freak out. Why are you freaking out?
Okay. Now watch what happens. This is the most fun thing in the world. So helium is about 5 times lighter than air, right?
My hands are sweating.
So now if I talk to you, this is how I sound. I'm not putting this on. This is not...
What it does is the gas coming over the throat is much, much lighter, and you'll hear my voice starts to come back to normal. Now, I have another cylinder at home of argon. And if you breathe in argon, your voice actually goes deeper, like Barry White. Yeah.
And is any of this dangerous?
No. No, here, you try.
Oh, no, I'm petrified. I have to block my ears when you blow it up.
So if I let go of this balloon, it'll float right up to the ceiling.
I'm scared of the pop. When I was a waitress at Spur, I was always put on balloon duty. And I'd literally cover
one
ear with my shoulder and the other with my arm while I was blowing them up. All right.
All right, go. Here's Leanne Moll on the helium.
My lungs obviously don't have that much capacity because I could only take in half the balloon.
Pass it to Sia. This is great. All right. We're so childish.
I know.
Very lightheaded.
So no, you're meant to suck it in.
Yeah, just take the whole thing, Sia.
I think I'm
going to
faint.
Balloon. Go. Breathe it in. Breathe it in into your lungs. Go on. If you could do
breathe
this.
Breathe out first.
Go on. Breathe it in.
Right. Oh, is something happening? Oh, something. A bit is happening. Okay.
Breathe out first and then suck it in.
Okay, yeah, go. All of it. Yeah, that's a good mouthful. All right.
Is something happening? Oh my gosh. I want to stay like this forever.
It's like this a Mickey Mouse.
The worst thing in the world.
I am feeling lightheaded though. Oh, jeez.
All right, Nolo, you're going to try it as well. There we go.
Yeah, no, that made me want to faint.
Yeah, fun just for a Tuesday,
all
right?
Just a tiny little woozy.
She's
a
farty one.
Wow, so how does this experiment work?
It's just going to make your voice high.
Right, but working. How accurate is it for the baby thingies?
No. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to fill up the pink and fill up the blue, and then whichever one it is, Greg will, I don't know, he'll hold up the one that it is and he'll pop the one that it isn't. I don't know.
They did an experiment with my ring.
Oh yeah, what did they do?
I don't know. They floated it somewhere and they said it was a girl.
Now, there are so many of old wives' tales. Keep those balloons for later. Mm. There's so many of these old wives' tales. Like someone says, if you look at someone's head, you can tell the mother's head whether they're going to have a boy or a girl. Someone said something interesting. It takes a real man to have a boy. A real man to have a girl.
Is that like a phrase thing? Yeah, or is that like a biological thing?
No. It's one of these old wives' tales. There's no way you can tell.
They also say the way the woman's carrying, if it's lower, it's a boy.
I don't know how it is. I have no idea. But, I mean, it's exciting because when someone in the office is going to have a baby, it's like a guessing game. So I've bet that it's going to be a boy.
I think you're one of the only ones.
I'm the only one who's bet that it's a boy. Everyone else says it's a girl. Everyone else.
I know the thing of taking the woman's ring and you put it through a string.
You use her hair.
Oh my God. Yeah. You see all of this shit?
And then she or the father lays out their hand and you basically dangle the ring above their hand. And there's a difference between if the ring will move in circles or just move horizontally. And that should tell you whether it's a boy or a girl as well.
It also tells you how many children you'll have. Because eventually it stops moving. So you dip it 1, 2, 3 as if it's a tea bag. Mm-hmm. Then you stop. and let it do its thing. And eventually, after two kids or three kids, it stops moving completely.
And that'll tell you how many children she's going to
have. Yeah.
Wow, what a lot of shit.
I know.
I remember these games as a kid, and I'd always pray like, nope, no, 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 don't let it come to me, don't let it come to
you
me.
You didn't want...
Oh, no, yeah. No. I was like,
listen,
I hope you don't see anything for me.
I had a fascinating night last night. I was at the Rand Club, and Mayor Herman Mashaba was there. And Mangosuthu Buthelezi was there. And they were both brilliant. They both made a speech about how much they're connected to and love Johannesburg. You know, Rand Club's in the middle of Joburg. And the mayor's obviously trying to do a cleanup. The funniest thing is, on the way to the event,
mm-hmm.
Herman Mashaba made a citizen's arrest.
Mm.
He's a real hands-on dude, huh?
What? Who did he arrest?
He arrested this dude who was pushing around a trolley full of meat. With a cow's head and and some hooves. And he was driving to this event down Smith Street or whatever, and he saw this guy with a trolley, a normal shopping trolley, full of meat and the blood dripping from the bottom and everything else. So he said to his guy, stop the car. He gets out of the car. He walks over. He goes, I mean, can you imagine this poor man? It's like the last person he expects to meet is the mayor of Johannesburg. And Herman Mashaba goes, you are not going anywhere. I'm calling the Metro Police. This is a health violation. This is dangerous. You're going to sell this meat to someone. They're going to get sick. Just you wait right here. And he holds him down. And the Metro Police arrive. And the Department of Health. They confiscate the meat. I mean, this poor dude, he's probably just some street vendor. But Herman Mashaba means business, you know?
He's never off duty.
Never off duty. I kind of respect it.
Yeah. Living by example. Can anyone make a citizen's arrest?
Yes, you can. I mean, I don't advise you take on hardened criminals.
Yeah. Just please just wait, yeah? The police are coming.
Yeah. We'll sort you out. Can you imagine?
So I get the mayor in the conversation that she had last night. What is Mangosuthu's connection to
the
city?
You know he's 90 years old.
That's why I'm like, why is he still out?
So he's only 20 years younger. Than Joburg.
So he vividly remembers.
No, I mean, listen, he's been a. You must remember, Mangosuthu Buthelezi has been a part of South Africa's politics since the 1950s. I mean, he met Verwoerd. He was selected at 20 something years old to tell Verwoerd, eyeball to eyeball, what was right and wrong about his policies. And that, if you asked to do that in your 20s, as a black man to the architect of apartheid, I think that's an amazing thing. He told such interesting stories about his time that he spent in Joburg, his uncle, who was the king, you know, because he's his proper honorific. You meant to, and when I introduced him, I said, His Royal Highness Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he's got incredible stories about the royal family of the Zulus and his own connections to people like Nelson Mandela and Tambo, and you know, these are stories that I think a lot of people don't know about with him, and I've asked him to come in so that he can come and join us on the show and we can talk to him at length. So we'll get him in soon and have a proper chat to him. But you know, the man, he has such a colorful, interesting history, and obviously there's a lot of political controversy around his IFP leadership, his honorary prime ministership of the Zulu people, the fact that he has been in politics for so many years, he keeps being re-elected. His constituents love him in his particular constituency in northern KZN. He's obviously a chief of his own, the Buthelezi tribe, and he's then, you know, also a member of the royal family. He's got a very, very interesting post-apartheid history in South Africa. He was called all kinds of things by the Black Consciousness Movement. He's just a really fascinating dude.
Hmm.
Now, you say his people love him. Do you think he still loves what he does, even at and age?
He's got such energy. 90 years old, and he gets up there in front of everybody, and he talks. And, I mean, people were worried he would keep talking because he's got a reputation.
Yeah. Oh, of those long.
Or worried that he would start speaking about something that wasn't at all the topic of conversation.
Well, that happens with old people. But he's very lucid. So what he does is he gets up and he speaks. And then I joked afterwards that he's got the Guinness Book of Records record for the longest speech in history. He spoke for 22 hours or whatever. Mm. But he says to me afterwards, you know, that's a hoax. He said it was all made up because he was actually just reporting back to Parliament on Zulu affairs for the whole year. So he broke it up into pieces, but they just put it all together into one speech and said he was talking nonstop for 22 hours. And he said he definitely didn't do that. But we were nervous.
Yeah.
Because it was already 10 o'clock when he started speaking.
Oh, my word.
Oh, Jesus. We can get home at 4 in the morning.
Just look at your watch now.
But he's great. So we'll hopefully get him in here sometime soon and hear some more of his stories.
Wow.
And then, yeah, there were some very cool people there. It was a celebration of Johannesburg. And a nice evening. Hmm. Everybody dressed up, black tie.
Even
cool.
In this heat.
Yeah, it was hot. Oh my God, it was hot.
Right.
Woo. How did you sleep? Could you sleep last night?
It was a struggle.
Practically naked with a fan. Oh,
same here.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I mean, this is real Me Too weather. You know?
Oh no. I now have these new curtains in my bedroom and I left my windows open, and these curtains are very flimsy and they really move easily
in the wind.
And I slept naked last night and I thought, somehow, if this large wind were to come through, the curtains move away and my neighbors get to see me naked, well.
Do you sleep with your lights?
Let it be so. No, I have this bright light outside on my balcony.
So if they see your naked bare ass,
it's a bonding experience.
Exactly.
Let's just call it that.
Right. Damn right. Don't you worry, Sia.
I'm over it at this point.
So yeah, very, very nice way to spend a Monday evening. An unexpectedly good way to spend a Monday evening. And they're doing this at the Rand Club. You know, the Rand Club's got a reputation for being kind of old and stuffy, but there are a lot of young black members.
Mm.
And it's become a very, very cool place. People seem to have gravitated back to the idea of being members of a club, having a place to visit in foreign countries. You know, if you're a member of the Rand Club, you can go to a lot of clubs in London and stay for free, which is amazing.
Oh.
And in Australia and in other places, even in America.
Membership's quite expensive, though.
It's if you think about that, if you travel and you can stay somewhere in the center of London for free in a magnificent club, are you kidding? It's nothing. Plus, you can go there any day you want for lunch.
Mm.
You can stay there overnight if you need to. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful place. Right on the landing of the staircase is a brass plaque with the members who died in World War One and Two, and they had a new wreath underneath there for Armistice Day on Sunday.
Right.
And there's a big portrait of Nelson Mandela above the stairs.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very special old institution. And, you know, it's been there since, I think, probably about 1900. I mean, that used to be the club that all the Rand Lords came to, you know, all these mining magnates. And it's still a place where incredible conversations take place. A lot of politicians go there. People have events there. People have weddings there. So I've just got to say, if you don't know anything about it and you're the kind of person who would like to be a member of something like that, and there are a lot of people who would, because it's sort of it's got some serious social cachet, and you meet people who are captains of industry and who are politically connected. And it's really a good place to be if you're the sort of young person who wants to make connections early on in life. I'd say join.
Hmm.
It's a fun idea. And if you really enjoy it, you might want to get other people to join too. I mean, it gives you access to these huge rooms and, you know, this library, and you can go there and have a drink every day after work because it's in the CBD.
Mm.
So especially if you work for one of the banks or whatever, it's a nice idea to be a member.
A friend of mine's a member of the Johannesburg Country Club.
Oh, yeah.
And we go there often just to sit in silence and work.
Yeah.
And it's really peaceful and you're surrounded by really beautiful gardens. The only downside is you're not allowed to answer your phone anywhere on the premises unless you're a doctor. And my cousin joined us, and she's a surgeon. So she was yapping away to her friends.
And she's allowed to.
I'm a doctor, she says.
What happens? Do people approach? Do they
Well, it's
confirm?
Just disrespectful, and it's kind of one of those rules that they have to follow.
They issue you with a rule book, and there's certain things that all the members just have to comply with. And it's because it's a shared space. So like you'll have rules in your body corporate of your, you know, complex that you live in or whatever.
Or in the office.
Yeah, you need these things to keep people in line. Otherwise, they just behave badly.
What are the top don'ts?
Well, it's interesting. Someone was telling me that it used to be like this. If you wanted to join, it used to be only men, obviously, once. Women were allowed in, I think, from the 1970s sometime.
There was even Jewish people weren't allowed to join a lot of these clubs.
It was hectic once. I mean, obviously, all these elites used to be these closed things. Now they're different. But once, in order to become a member, let's say Leanne and I are members and Sia wants to join.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne has to propose Sia. I have to second Sia. And then we have to stand at the entrance to the place as all the other members come in for a big lunch or whatever. And there has to be, you know, a certain number of people there, a certain number of other members there. And we have to say to these guys and girls, we have to say, look, you have to please vote for Sia to become a member. Because if he doesn't, we both have to resign.
Really?
How's that?
Jeepers.
So it's like they call it blackballing. What would happen is that if you proposed someone unsuitable, or if Leanne seconded someone unsuitable, that you'd also have to leave. You'd have to fall on your sword. Isn't that amazing? It's like it keeps the membership. Only the kind of people you know are not going to let anyone down. The kind of people who are not going to behave stupidly. You're going to set the place on fire or, I don't know, urinate in the tables or anything like that. So it's just interesting that these old traditions, and they're still very much alive in places like London. I mean, if you have this membership and you go to London, you could end up sitting next to Prince Charles at lunch. You don't know. Because he's a member of a bunch of these clubs. And where do you think he goes for lunch when he doesn't have to be out and show? He does. He goes to these clubs because it's a closed, safe, fun environment for him where he can just let loose a little bit. You might end up having a conversation with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. A lot of it is, I suppose, a relic of the past, but it's actually quite charming.
Well, they've modernized them quite a bit. Like this club I'm talking about.
Now they have exclusive women's lunches and things as well. Yes. So now some of the men can't get into some of these things, which is ironic.
But they offer everything, yoga classes and gyms
and big
swimming pools. And it's all free.
And they're opening up a bookshop in the basement level where some dude is a famous map and antique book collector. So he's collecting all these rare things from all over the world, and you can go and buy them there and look at them there. It's almost like a little museum that you can shop in. It's amazing. I mean, I think that's very cool. Anyway, Sia sounds like Caitlyn Jenner with the helium, says Michelle.
Oh, where far?
Kelly says, are you guys feeling lightheaded because you aren't inhaling any oxygen? Yeah, that's part of it. It actually says on the warning label.
Now you read it.
Now you read it.
It says, warning, helium technical.
Yeah.
He, which is the symbol.
H-E, yeah.
Do not inhale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Asphyxiant.
Well, what happens is if you only breathed this in for more than a balloon, let's say.
Yeah.
You would obviously asphyxiate. You need oxygen to breathe, right? So if you only breathe this in, it would be bad for you.
Mm.
But if you do it for like one breath, it's not going to kill you. It does make you a bit lightheaded.
Can it explode?
No, helium isn't flammable. It isn't
says
dangerous.
Don't smoke near a cylinder.
Well, that's just because all cylinders are compressed and you don't want to.
Okay. You can take it out of my face now.
Gareth, right. I've been meaning to ask. You have all these
scientific duties.
Yeah, man. He has everything from yes, everything.
I've microscopes, been on his, chemicals.
Yep, all kinds of chemicals and Jesus Lord, what is that about?
You know what? I'm really fascinated by this stuff. I know it's so geeky. Some people buy expensive clothes. Some people go for expensive meals. Some people have relationships.
people have relationships.
Sure. I have a chemical laboratory.
It's
so much fun. To be able to, like yesterday when they were talking about this gender reveal, Greg was like, oh no, we've got to do it tomorrow because Sia's not here because Sia had left early. And so we were going to do it today. And then he's like, oh, but the helium balloons. So I said, don't worry, I'll bring some helium. I got it lying around.
What's your most prized chemical that you've got.
I don't have a prized chemical. It's just fun doing these experiments with it. I mean, you use them up as you do experiments. So it's like having a kitchen. Mm. And you know how you use up the ingredients. Mm. I mean, you don't go, well, my prized thing is the flour or the bicarbonate of soda.
Okay, this is true.
Or the cherries. You use them up when you're cooking. So I just use them to do experiments. And then if I need to get more of something, then I get it. But it's not like I have large quantities of the stuff either. Mm. I've got small amounts. The most I've got of anything is probably about 2.5 liters of sulfuric acid.
And are there certain things you can't do in your house now that you have all of these chemicals?
No. I mean, I've got to be very careful. They've got to be stored in different things. Like all the flammable stuff has to be stored in a flame-proof cupboard.
Ooh.
And then there's stuff that, like the acids. I mixed up a batch of something called, is this interesting?
Yes.
I always worry when I talk about this stuff that nobody's really interested. All right. So I mixed up a batch of stuff called, it was only about 50 milliliters of something called Aqua Regia, which is 1/3 nitric acid and 2/3 hydrochloric acid concentrated. And you mix it with a stirrer bar on a magnetic stirrer, and then it goes this orange color. And it has some pretty dangerous acidic vapors. So you store it in a glass bottle, which you then put some plastic around with an elastic band, and you put it inside another plastic container, right? So that you can contain all the vapors because it's very acidic. So I have this Aqua Regia, which you're not really meant to keep. You're meant to make some when you need it and then neutralize it and throw it away.
Uh-oh.
So I kept it for, what, about 2 months? It rusted the hinges on the cupboard that it was kept in. So that there was a pile of red dust rust that had fallen under every hinge. It had completely ruined them. I had to get white spray paint afterwards, plasticky spray paint. I had to clean them off, and I had to put the spray paint on just to protect them from corroding even further. And I had to neutralize the stuff and pour it out because there's just no way that you can keep that.
Oh, shucks.
Not good.
Mm-mm.
And it was in there for 2 months and it completely rusted those hinges up. So you've got to be careful also.
I'm glad you've never asked me to house it because I'd probably put my feet up, light a cigarette.
No, well, you see.
That's what I'm thinking of. You just got to
get drunk, kick something over.
I lock the door. I don't let anyone. There's nothing so dangerous in there that it could kind of blow up the house or anything. Leanne, obviously, I don't want that.
Leanne would stumble and then go, Gareth didn't tell me about this liquor cabinet.
Oh, God. And she'd start attacking it. You would be interested. There's about 500 mils of pure ethanol.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Which is with, you know, ethyl alcohol.
So. Like Mampur.
No. This stuff is 98% proof, right?
What percent is the stuff that they spray using hospitals?
Well, that's surgical spirits, which is actually a mix of a whole lot of alcohols.
The hand sanitizer.
There's a lot of isopropyl alcohol in that, so that's not ethyl alcohol. So you actually can't drink it.
Okay, because when it's dangerous. In the psych ward, there was a guy there. Oh,
just casually, when you were in the psych ward.
Yes. Yeah. There was one of the patients in the ward. He kept following me around, which was very creepy. But
Bill Cosby really has to stop doing that.
He had a bicycle bottle, like a sports bottle, and he was drinking this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He was, I mean, his eyes were facing different directions and they were bloodshot.
No, look, you've got to be careful. I mean, the human body is very resilient, but some of these chemicals, they take an extraordinary toll on your internal organs. I mean, obviously, some of them are deadly poisonous.
Mm.
And a lot of them will cause cancer. You know, they're carcinogenic. So you don't drink these things. You don't put them near your mouth. You wear gloves. If it's viscous, you wear a mask. Mm. You know, that kind of thing. You've got to be careful. It's not, I'm not fucking around. I mean, I'm genuinely interested in the chemistry here. So I wouldn't do it for display. I'm not doing it to show any, but it's my own stupid geeky hobby.
And never invite clumsy people into
your hell house. No. But people don't get near this stuff. I'm like, you sit there and behave yourself. Michelle says, I don't have many chemicals in my lab. I love Gareth's experiments. What do you use to neutralize an acid like that? I use something. I think she meant sodium thiosulfate. Well, sodium thiosulfate's useful to remove iodine stains. That's one of its uses. But yeah, Anyway, all right. So the point is, if you're going to neutralize an acid, you need to use an alkali, a base. So with the Aqua Regia, what I did is I mixed it up with some sodium hydroxide, which is basically drain cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two of them get quite warm because they're reacting, producing a salt. Mm. And most of that salt is actually just sodium chloride, so it's normal table salt. Mm, and then it's like pouring salty water down the sink. So it's perfectly safe then, once you've neutralized it, to pour it down there.
Mm.
There's no danger. It's just water and salt.
Good to know.
Effectively. All right. Enough. That's your chemistry lesson for the day. Gareth, you could be the next Walter White, the Breaking Bad master of South Africa. Make that meth in your backyard. We will support you. Well, everybody always asks that, but I don't do organic chemistry. So even if I wanted to make drugs, I wouldn't know how to.
Mm.
That's a lot more complicated. That's almost like pharmacology, and I don't know anything about that. I do inorganic chemistry, so it's very limited. All right, well, let's get to some news. Are you ready?
All righty.
First things first, very sad news. A lot of people hugely affected by this. I see plenty of the people I follow on Instagram very, very sad about Stan Lee,
mm-hmm.
who died. The 95-year-old comic book legend passed away in hospital. Several Hollywood stars have taken to social media to honor the late icon. I mean, what a guy. He was the father of Marvel and their cinematic universe. Stars have paid tribute to him. He passed away on Monday. He is known for creating and co-creating most of the Marvel superheroes.
Yeah. Then, so
who do you want to hear tributes from? There's Captain America. Do you want to hear about him?
Okay.
He said, there will never be another Stan Lee. For decades, he provided young and old with adventure, escape, comfort, confidence, inspiration, strength, friendship, and joy. He exuded love and kindness and will leave an indelible mark on so, so many lives. And then a lot of them are saying Excelsior. I'm not sure where that comes from. It must be one of the
Marvel things.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, I follow him on social media. He's so funny. He's such a great guy. He obviously is Deadpool. He wrote, "Damn, rest in peace, Stan. Thanks for everything." Which is very sweet. Jamie Chung, who voiced the character of Gogo in Disney's animated movie Big Hero 6, which was loosely based on the Marvel Comics superhero team of the same name, said, "Rest in peace, Stan Lee. True legend. He spoke up against injustices through his stories where good prevails over evil. It was an honor working for you, Stan." Hmm. Well, yes, Jamie, but I mean, Thanos in the last Avengers movie really takes out half of the population of the universe. So I don't know that good always wins, but okay.
Excelsior is a catchphrase that Stan started using from like the mid-1960s, and it's a Latin phrase that means ever upward.
Well, that's lovely.
He would write in his publisher's column in the comic books and sign off with Excelsior.
Excellent.
That's nice.
I'm a big fan of the Marvel universe, but I'm not a total geek about it, so I don't know what Excelsior means. So thanks for explaining that to us.
World War III once started at a dinner party, and I didn't know the difference between Marvel and DC, I shut up now. I don't say a thing.
I'm not even allowed to talk to people who are DC fans, you know? So Rosario Dawson said, "Overwhelmed with love and gratitude for the late great hero Stan Lee. Rest in paradise. Thank you for your imagination, creativity, tenacity, inspiration, and love." And then there were a lot of others, Seth Rogen, Gene Simmons, Piers Morgan. Who wants Piers Morgan to wish anything? I mean, it's bad enough you're dead that Piers Morgan then has to climb in and say something. Gene Simmons, of course, from Kiss, said, "Thank you for your imagination, a great mind. The genius who gave the world so many wonderful comics, a marvel of a man." Well, that's a nice thing to say. All right. Very, very sad news there for people who are fans of the Marvel comic universe and Stan Lee. He used to star. He used to have a
cameo.
Yeah,
he would do like cameos. And so he started with the Fantastic Four in 1961. Then he went on to create Spider-Man, Black Panther, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, Iron Man, and the Avengers.
That's right.
Wakanda. Pardon not knowing, these are all his own original ideas.
Yeah,
he would borrow loosely from Norse mythology or Greek mythology, or you know, he would base this. He was a real admirer of the classics, so he knew a lot about, you know, when he incorporated some of these divine characters from the ancient mythologies, and he knew what he was doing.
Wow, that's big. His wife died last year. Mm. They were married for
95.
Probably they were married for 69 years. So 69. Yeah, he died pretty much after her. Oh, shame.
Well, all right. You see, no one lasts forever.
She was 69 and he's 95.
Oh. No, they were married for 69 years.
Oh, sorry.
You just immediately get dirty about it, you know?
I was about to say, ooh, Stan, you caught yourself something.
All right, South Africa's government. Oh, boy. The government of Rabat, that's Morocco, obviously, has yet to answer a request for agreement made 14 years ago by Pretoria. Listen to this. The ball is in Morocco's court if the kingdom wants to return an ambassador to Pretoria. Apparently, we haven't had an ambassador here from Morocco for the longest time. Government says that they're just waiting for Morocco to actually get back to them. Morocco's ambassador to Pretoria packed his bags and left in a huff when South Africa recognized the Zararaharo-Rawararawi people. Remember? They've illegally occupied that kingdom since 1975. You know when Catherine Constantinides comes in here and she talks about the Zararaharo-Rawararawi people?
Mm.
Oh, they're from Morocco.
Oh, that's good.
So since then, the Moroccan government have ignored a request from Pretoria for the agreement to have a South African ambassador. Morocco has been saying it wants to restore top-level relations with South Africa as a heavy hitter in the African Union. Durco's operations chief, Mkolisi Nkosi, told reporters on Monday that the starting point for any normalization of relations between Morocco and South Africa would have to be Morocco replying to the 14-year-old request. And they just haven't. I mean, really, they should get their shit together. Come on, Morocco.
I keep leaving messages and no one's getting back to them.
Exactly. We keep calling, but you don't respond.
Keep on knocking, but you can't go, man.
Cape Town. You didn't understand that.
It's a song reference, yeah, I'm assuming.
An old song. I think it's James Brown. You keep on knocking, but you can't come
and
in.
It's also from the movie Cheech and Chong.
There we go.
Where they're sitting in this car and they've smoked this spliff, which is just the size of a megaphone. And the car is completely clouded over and they're inside. The steering wheel's made of chains. And they're sitting in there. And
Cheech and Chong, fantastic.
And he's driving. He's moving the steering wheel, but they're like, their eyes are almost closed. And the camera pans out, and the car's not moving at all. It's parked in front of a pole. And this cop now stops behind them. And yeah, they look in the mirror, and they go, oh, man, the cops are on their way. What are we going to do? So the guy, the hitchhiker he's just picked up, opens this huge bag of Mandrax tablets and just eats them all. Eats everything, all of the LSD, everything. And then the cop knocks on the window and Cheech rolls down the window only a smidge. And he goes, you keep on knocking, but you can't come in.
Cheech Marin. I love that guy.
Oh, gotta watch a bit of Cheech and Chong.
That's such a good idea. I think I'll do that this weekend. You've got to watch. If you've never watched this, you are missing out. Your education is incomplete.
Cheech and Chong.
Oh, Cheech and Chong is so great, and it hasn't dated badly.
All about drugs.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
All right. Cape Town's new anti-gang unit have made another arrest following the murder of a man in El Cis Rafid. 31-year-old man was gunned down on Sunday morning. Police's Frederick van Wyk said the suspect fled and was later arrested by members of the anti-gang unit. Once charged, the 40-year-old suspect will be due to make a court appearance on a charge of murder. Now, this anti-gang unit have done really well. They've made over 60 arrests since they were deployed earlier this month. President Cyril Ramaphosa and Bekele, the Minister of Police, formally launched the specialized unit in Hanover Park 2 weeks ago. It's got 95. I've got dyslexia at this point.
Look at you.
It's got 95 members. And they're clearly making some very good progress. So power to them. The Hawks, speaking of arrests, have arrested two more vehicle examiners linked to corruption in Butterworth. Yeah, apparently the Hawks have been watching the what do they call it?
Roadworthiness?
Yeah, and the illegal granting of licenses in Butterworth. Two suspects, aged 25 and 40, have been alleged to be part of a bigger group responsible for fraudulent certification of roadworthy permits in the Western Cape. They were arrested on Friday and appeared in the Bellville Magistrates Court on Monday on charges of fraud and corruption. They were granted R1,500 bail. Apparently, they are linked to a syndicate that's been operating in Cape Town, Butterworth, and Queenstown. So if you have a piece of shit car, and it's like a skorokor, and you go to these guys, they'll get you a certificate and then you're roadworthy for your piece of shit car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously dangerous because then these are the cars that you see broken down on the highway. Yes, that are just abandoned.
Their chassis skew and they're traveling like a crab across the highway.
They're moving
the,
like
the other day there was a bus on my way here. Half its asshole was hanging out on the road. It was sparking. I'm like, oh, man. Everyone's just avoiding it and going way far around.
You know,
it.
I feel sorry for the people who have to catch a bus like that because you take your life in your hands. Jesus. And finally, the SABC. Shame. You know, it's really, we just should just have their funeral now. Mm. What a sad state of affairs. It's just such a mess. The SABC have said they have a new agreement with MultiChoice, which will benefit both companies. This follows a Competition Commission ruling that a channel distribution agreement between the two, signed in 2013, constituted a merger. The commission wants the public broadcaster and Africa's largest pay TV operator to register the transaction as a merger, failing which they'll be in violation of competition law. So the five-year agreement is said to be worth over 500 million rand and will allow MultiChoice the right to broadcast SABC's 24-hour news channel and entertainment channel SABC Encore. Why MultiChoice would be doing this is beyond me. I mean, MultiChoice can barely afford to keep their ship afloat. Honestly, they're a loss-making enterprise at this point.
I didn't know that.
Not great at MultiChoice.
I'm so confused.
They announced they've signed a new commercial channel supply agreement following the two channels to allow all of this to be continued in terms of broadcast on DSTV. Hmm. Anyway, so look, more madness at the SABC. They just, I don't know. I wish them well. I really do. Especially Chris Murray-Lang. We like him. He popped in here a while ago and updated us. Maybe it's time to talk to him again. All right. Very good. That's your news.
Nice.
You like?
Well, no. Not all nice, but no. Yeah.
Better to know than not to know. We don't hide our heads in the sand. Coming up a little later on, I think you'll be pleased to know about this. There's a game that's been invented, a new game called House of Cronies. It's based on the TV series Czar News and Puppet Nation. It's produced by the Both Worlds team that have brought multi-award-winning Czar News to South Africa's screens. A game of political influence, tactics, and yes, even corruption lets ordinary South Africans pull some political strings as they vie to fill their cabinet, secure the most votes, and ultimately win the game. Isn't that a great idea?
That is so fun. You get a chance to do it.
You can actually buy this game at Exclusive Books. And we'll tell you all about what it is. And Pierre Kasuto, who of course is the creator of the House of Cronies game, he's also the guy who invented Czar News. He's that guy who made the puppets.
Yes.
Right, he's brilliant. And Pierre is going to join us and he'll tell us what the inspiration is behind it and where you can get it. And, you know, I'm going to a party on Friday and we've got to do something. There's got to be some kind of entertainment and there's always such pressure.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect thing to do. We play this corruption game.
It's better than belly dancing.
Damn right. Especially if I'm the belly dancer.
Yeah.
And then we've got Gavin Moffat popping in later on. I read his book, well, parts of his book yesterday. He's a speaker, writer, common sense evangelist, and an accidental specialist in the field of marketing communication strategy. He's also swum with sharks. He does deep sea scuba diving.
Casually.
Yeah. He's written a book called Swimming with Sharks. So we'll find out all about him. Loads of stuff today.
You do realize every time we swim in the sea, we're all swimming with sharks.
Yes, but you don't. That doesn't make you brave, ass. Bitcoin is $6,366. It's ticking up. Ethereum, $209. It's going down. But, you know, we've got to keep an eye on these things. You never know. This time last year, everyone was super excited about cryptocurrency. Sia, what do you have for us in Said by Sia today? In case you're wondering, Ben doesn't come in on Tuesdays. He comes in Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We've changed things up a little bit. You know, got to keep it fresh.
It's not because of his illness yesterday. He's Ben's not breaking down.
Although, we do need to check in on him. We need to phone him later on just to make sure that he's alive. Because he went to be manhandled by his physio, Derek. Mm.
He said he's not really a physio or a chiropractor, but he lives with a chiropractor.
Oh, Jesus.
So who knows what's going on?
Ben might be crippled. So we'll find out tomorrow. Tune in, and maybe Gord will be here tomorrow. Any word on that?
Let's wait.
You know, we could bring in the vet and just have them both put down at the same time tomorrow. Let's just save humanity this trouble. All right, Sia, over to you.
Save humanity. Well, talking about saving humanity, funnily enough, all of these efforts and Al Gore came out with an inconvenient truth and these campaigns come out to us and sometimes it's annoying. But folks, I bear with me fantastic news this morning.
How fantastic.
Because all our efforts are not in vain. According to a new report that was released by the United Nations recently, the ozone layer is slowly being repaired.
But I thought that was old news.
This is now, they're saying on top of that, it could totally be healed in our lifetime.
Really?
So it's not exactly the grandest of stats to release, but I think for people who are so annoyed by these campaigns and they're thinking, oh, let's roll our eyes at these environmentalists, this is really, really great news. The report goes on to note how really all of our efforts put together are reducing the amount of ozone depleting substances. They call these ODS that are being introduced into the Earth's atmosphere. And scientific organizations from around the world are now reporting that we've now reached a turning point in the fight against ozone depletion. So the report by the United Nations goes on to say that the ozone layer could be totally healed by 2060. I know it's a long way away, but in some areas of the world, it could soon be healed as early as 2030. So they say that for the first time, there are emerging indications that the Antarctic ozone hole has diminished in size and depth since the year 2000, and that the weight of evidence suggests that the decline in ODS made a substantial contribution to the observed trends. This is actually cool.
Yeah, of course it is.
And the reason why
it's also essential to our survival.
Thank you.
If that ozone layer disappears, do you realize we'll be baked to a crisp?
Ooh.
I remember that was the scariest thing when
That's
I was growing up.
It
was all about
us.
The ozone layer.
You remember them talking about chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs?
Yes.
In every deodorant can and hairspray was evil.
That's what it is.
And then it stopped for, we haven't really heard anything.
I grew up with that era of I was obsessed with Axe at a point. And every time I used to just get Axe on me, I was like, oh no, I'm just killing us all.
Really?
See? But nah. Good news, folks. Doesn't mean don't stop making an effort, but it's all good. We're actually making repairs to the ozone layer, slowly but surely.
All right. Very good, Sia.
That's your set by Sia for this morning.
I'm delighted. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Breathe in. Ozone, by the way, you know what it is chemically?
No.
O3. It's three oxygen atoms bonded together.
And it's essential to keep everything underneath it in place.
Well, it basically stops harmful, dangerous solar radiation from coming through the atmosphere and doing us significant damage. Like every creature, every plant would have cancer.
Oh.
If the whole ozone layer disappeared.
It's like a firewall.
Yeah, that's exactly the way to describe it, actually. You're even better at this than me. Thank
you. Did you take science, physics?
I did. I was obsessed with chemistry in high school.
Look at you.
Yeah, I was really good at it.
Very nice. Okay, that's said by Sia. That's a little bit of news. We've got even more. There's more coming up a little bit later on, so stick around for that. Very exciting Tuesday morning on cliffcentral.com.
Just keep on coming, but you can't come in.
Oh! We've also got a game. We've got the Get Smart game. We might get to that. We'll see how that goes, but we've got another game coming in a little later on. This brilliant new board game that's been invented by Pierre Casuto. So we'll find out all about that in a short while. All right, that's good enough for you. That's on the lineup. Now you know. Good. Excellent. CliffCentral.com.